ध्रुववाच योऽन्तः प्रविश्य मम वाचामिमं प्रसुप्ताम् सञ्जीवयत्यखिलशक्तिधरस्वधाम्ना अन्यांश्च हस्तचरणश्रवणत्वगादीन् प्राणन्नमो भगवते पुरुषाय तुभ्यम् ध्रुव उवाच. Dhruva Maharaj said, Yaha, the Supreme Lord who, Antaha, within, Pravishya, entering, Mama, my, Vacham, words, Imam, all these, Prasuptam, which are all inactive or dead. Sanjeevayati, rejuvenates, Akhila, universal, Shakti, energy, Dharaha, possessing, Swadhamna, by his internal potency, Anyancha, other limbs also, Hasta, like hands, Charana, legs, Shravana, ears, Twak, skin, Adin, and so on. Pranan, life force. Namaha, let me offer my obeisances. Bhagavate, unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purushaya, the Supreme Person. Tubhyam, unto you. Translation. Dhrumara said, My dear Lord, you are all powerful. After entering within me, you have enlivened all my sleeping senses. My hands, legs, ears, touch sensation, life force, and especially my power of speech. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. Dhruva Maharaj could understand very easily the difference between his condition before and after attaining spiritual realization and seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face. He could understand that his life force and activities had been sleeping. Unless one comes to the spiritual platform, his bodily limbs, mind and other facilities within the body are understood to be sleeping. Unless one is spiritually situated, all his activities are taken as a dead man's activities or ghostly activities. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has composed a song in which he addresses himself, O living entity, get up, how long shall you sleep on the lap of Maya? Now, you have the opportunity of possessing a human form of body. Now try to get up and realize yourself. The Vedas also declare, get up, get up. You have the opportunity, the boon of the human form of life. Now realize yourself. These are the Vedic injunctions. Dhruva Maharaj actually experienced that upon enlightenment of his senses on the spiritual platform, he could understand the essence of Vedic instruction that the Supreme Lord, Supreme Godhead is the Supreme Person. He is not impersonal. Dhruva Maharaj could immediately understand this fact. He was aware that for a very long time he was practically sleeping. And he felt the impetus to glorify the Lord according to the Vedic conclusion. A mundane person cannot offer any prayer or glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead because he has no realization of the Vedic conclusion. When Dhruva Maharaj therefore found This difference within himself, he could immediately understand that it was because of the causeless mercy of the Lord. He offered obeisances to the Lord with great respect and reverence, completely understanding that the Lord's favor was upon him. The spiritual enlivenment of Dhruvamaraj's senses and mind was due to the action of the internal potency of the Lord. In this verse, therefore, the word Swadhamna means by spiritual energy. Spiritual enlightenment is possible by the mercy of the spiritual energy of the Lord. The chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra is first addressed to the spiritual energy of the Lord, Hare. The spiritual energy acts when a living entity fully surrenders and accepts his position as an eternal serviette. When a person places himself at the disposal or order of the Supreme Lord, that is called Sevonmukha. At that time, the spiritual energy gradually reveals the Lord to him. Without revelation by the spiritual energy, one is unable to offer prayers glorifying the Lord. Any amount of philosophical speculation or poetic expression by mundane persons is still considered to be the action and reaction of the material energy. When one is actually enlivened by the spiritual energy, all his senses become purified and he engages only in the service of the Lord. At that time, his hands, legs, ears, tongues, mind, genitals, everything engage in the service of the Lord. Such an enlightened devotee no longer has any material activities, nor has he any interest in being materially engaged. This process of purifying the senses and engaging them in the service of the Lord is known as bhakti or devotional service. In the beginning, the senses are engaged by the direction of the spiritual master and shastra. After realization, when the same senses are purified, the engagement continues. The difference is that in the beginning, senses are engaged in a mechanical way, but after realization, they are engaged in spiritual understanding. Om Jnana Timiranthasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padagamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavancha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagrana Rakunadhanyutam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanyutamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanjana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Paditanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Bhutair Mahadharyai Ma Puro Vipu Nirmaya Shete Yadamusha Purusha Bhunte Gunan Shodasha Shodashatmaka Solam Krishishta Bhagavan Vachamsime Hare Krishna. This is a very special verse in the pastime of Dhruva Maharaj, because this is the first prayer that is offered by Dhruva Maharaj. So he has seen the Lord and he couldn't speak anything at all. But by the mercy of the Lord, now he is going to pray very eloquently in glorifying the Lord in the form of Prishnigarbha. So here, this verse is such a verse which mentions the difference between before and after. It looks like some advertisement. In this world, everything is about before and after in the ads, right? And if there is anything, practically speaking, if you, you know, if there is some hair growth program, before and after you can see in the photos. Or if there is a liposuction, before and after. Or if you go to choose a career path, before and after. If you do this, you get something. So in that way, the whole world is advertising. Okay, you're going to get this, or something is going to happen if you do this. So these are all advertising gimmicks. However, here we can see the true story, the real before and after. This is before devotion service and after devotion service. This story all of us have. This is not really unique to Dhruva Maharaj. Yes, it is in a very advanced, enlightened state by getting darshan, vision of the Supreme Lord Himself. However, all of us have our own story of before and after. Before coming to Krishna consciousness and after coming to Krishna consciousness. In fact, Krishna Himself in the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita contrasts between with Krishna consciousness and without Krishna consciousness. You know, the verse, Ya Nisha Sarvabhutanam. You know, what is the light, night for a materialist? That is the day for an introspective yogi, for a sage. So there is a difference between material consciousness and spiritual consciousness. And if you ask anyone, everyone has their own story, how we came to Krishna consciousness. Just like in Srimad Bhagavatam, many devotees were asked, how you actually came to Krishna consciousness? Narada Muni, he narrates his own story. Because Narada Muni is the spiritual master of Vyasadeva. And Vyasadeva asked, he was very curious, how you became Narada Muni? Then he narrates his story in few lifetimes actually. We can see some in the 7th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, some part in the 1st canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Similarly, when the wives of Krishna finally met in Kurukshetra, they were also started talking to each other. How did you meet Krishna? How Krishna became your husband? So everyone had their own pastime, had their own story to tell. Similarly, for all of us devotees, we have our own story. How we came to this temple or elsewhere and became devotee. I can still remember first time coming to this temple. It was in 2003. And I came in here for evening arati, 4 o'clock arati. It was a weekday. And I went to Crossways for some time. Then I used to have prasadam there. And then I found out from Crossways that there is a temple. So I thought, okay, I should visit the temple. So one of my roommates told, I know where it is, so we'll go. So we came together to this temple. I walked in. Still I remember, I walked in, sat here. And then I took darshan and sat here. Then Narasimha Arati was going on. Sat here and immediately Narasimha Arati started. So it was there was a kirtan, 4 o'clock kirtan, and then Narasimha Arati, and I sat. I got a sheet, still remember looking at the sheet, and some of the words looked familiar to me, because Narasimha Arati, some part we have already heard, you know, Jai Jagadish Hare. So I was thinking, oh yeah, this part sounds familiar and this part is not familiar. So this is how we actually come in touch with the devotees for the first time. And I didn't even know that there was prasadam served upstairs. I just left after straight away. And then, oh, that's a bad sign. Definitely it is a bad sign. Then I started coming to temple. Started maybe Saturday or Sunday. Come, take darshan. Of course, go, take prasadam. Then I found out about prasadam. Then there was no time when I missed prasadam. Every time I am there for prasadam, take prasadam. Then started meeting devotees. And I didn't want to get preached by devotees. Because the conception was very strong in my mind. I knew what these people are going to speak to me. These people are devotees of Krishna. I know that they are devotees of Krishna, and they are going to tell me Krishna is the Supreme Lord and you have to worship Krishna. So I really don't want to hear that, because you know I have that's not what I want to do. And I know a higher philosophy. You know what is a higher philosophy? Just like any Indian Hindu would think, higher everything is one. These people are devotees of Krishna. They're saying Krishna is supreme. Go to Shiva temple, they will tell Shiva is supreme. So I have already understood. I am not biased. I know what is the real stuff. So this is how we think. However, by the association of the devotees, we understand what is the reality. So everything start working. Right? Slowly things start working. Okay, because everything get purified, the heart get purified, the senses get purified. So there is transformation. So this is the life of a devotee. When a devotee come in touch with the Lord, as it is mentioned here, there is a great transformation. So it is drastic in one sense, in case of Dhruva Maharaj. We'll go through that, what the transformation took place in Dhruva Maharaj. And here, see, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is telling the famous song, Jeev Jago, Jeev Jago, Gaura Chandra Bole. Jeev Jago, get up, get up. Why? Because we are all sleeping, or at least we were sleeping, probably we are still sleeping, on the lap of a witch called Maya. So get up. And Prabhupada also quotes the Vedic verse. The verse is not quoted here. At the same time, that is Uttishtada Jagrada Papyavaran Nibodhata. There's a verse, it's a very famous Vedic verse, Upanishadic verse, which says that get up, because now we have got the human form of life. So this is the time to get up from the slumber of ignorance and understand what is the reality and go beyond the cycle of birth and death. Srila Prabhupada says, even according to the song of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, according to the Vedic version, having obtained human form of life, one has the responsibility to address the big problems of life, which is cycle of birth and death, the samsara. Now let's see what happened to Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva Maharaj performed severe austerities, which we may be able to talk, but we can't imagine performing that. It's for a short while, 6 months. Time-wise, it is very short. Right? It's very short. And we are practicing maybe for 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, 25 years, so many years. So it is very short time. But the tivrata, tivrena bhakti yogena, the intensity, that is great. That is incomparable. That is the reason. Even when Mahaprabhu would read and hear pastimes of two great devotees, he used to cry always. Who were they? Dhruva Maharaj and Prahlad Maharaj. How they got such determination and such severe bhakti to the Supreme Lord. Dhruva Maharaj, he left everything and he performed severe austerities for 6 months and he realized the Lord. So now we can see in two levels, the before and after in case of Dhruva Maharaj. At one point, Dhruva Maharaj couldn't utter a word. He was in front of the Lord, he couldn't utter a word. Now, we may think in this way. If I see the Supreme Lord person face to face, in person, then I am going to offer prayers to the Lord. Or I am going to touch his feet. Or I am going to embrace the Lord. We may think in so many different ways. However, the reality is something else. Here at least, Dhruva Maharaj was able to stand straight, erect in front of the Lord. But generally, if one sees the Supreme Lord, they may not be even to stand in front of the Lord. Just like Gopakumar. He went through all the planets in this world. He went through all the spiritual realms, and ultimately when he went to Goloka Vrindavan and when he met the Supreme Lord face to face, what happened to him? He fainted. He couldn't handle the situation. He couldn't handle the beauty of the Lord. He couldn't handle anything. When he first time saw the Lord, all the cowherd boys were coming along, all the cows were coming. In that setting, when he saw the Supreme Lord, he fainted. Then the Lord had to embrace him. Everyone was chanting. He took him and then finally embraced him. So this is how the Lord bring one back to normal life, which is the spiritual life. So here Dhruva Maharaj was lucky. He didn't faint. He could see the Lord even though he couldn't utter a word. Now what did Lord do immediately? Exactly. Pasparsha. He actually touched. Using what? Kambuna. Kambuna means? Conscience. And it is a Brahma Maya. It's a very special spiritual conscience. The Lord has Shankha Chakra Gada Padma. Vishnu has Shankha Chakra Gada Padma. Two are for devotees and two are for demons. So we can choose what we want. What is for devotees? Shankha Chakra Gada Padma. What is for devotees? Do you know?
Padma and?
Exactly. Padma and conch shell. Shankha. That is for devotees. And Gada? Gada is for hitting the demons. Chakra is also to cut the throat, you know. Like Shishupal, right? You know Shishupal, right? What happened? Very nicely cut the throat. Not even a drop of blood oozed out from the throat. Everything was clean. Can't do anything better. A clean slaughter by the Lord. So this is the Lord. He can do anything. So now he touched the kapala. He touched the forehead with this kambu, with the transcendental conch shell. Immediately what happened? All the Vedic conclusions were completely manifested or completely revealed in the heart of Dhruva Maharaj. Immediately. So this is something very special. If he touched, nothing happens. But the Lord touched, the whole Vedic conclusions were revealed in the heart of Dhruva Maharaj. Because this is one change happened. Then he was able to offer eloquent prayers glorifying the Supreme Lord. So we can see one change. Okay. Now this is not complete. Because we can see that in the further verses, in the verse 9, we can see it is not that he was able to pray such beautiful prayers, but there was a real transformation of the heart. This is very important. Dhruva Maharaj wanted only material benedictions. He wanted a kingdom which is greater than his father, his great grandfather, his great grandfather, that is even up to Brahma. He wanted a kingdom even bigger than that of Brahma's. So now his transformation is very amazing, because that is the prayer of repentance. Why did I pray for such material things? So I'll read the translation to verse 9, which really demonstrates what is the change. So it is not just external, it is coming from the core of the heart. Verse 9 says, persons who worship you simply for the sense gratification of this bag of skin are certainly influenced by your illusory energy. For the sense gratification of this bag of skin. So here we can see how Dhruva Maharaj is really seeing through. All the illusion is dispelled. He's just telling it's a bag of skin. Who are like a desire tree. So this is about the Lord. In spite of having you who are like a desire tree and are the cause of liberation from birth and death, foolish persons such as me desire benedictions from you for sense gratification, which is available even for those who live in the hellish conditions. Because there are hellish planets which are very opulent. There are opulent hellish planets. So, sense gratification is even available in hellish condition. So why did I pray for such sense gratification? So this is the real change. Now as devotees, we can also See that how our material desires are at least coming down. How we were completely captured by material desires and how it is slowly slackening. So this is the change we have to see. There's no point seeing anything else. This change, if we can observe in our heart, then we can see the process of bhakti is working. We are in the right track. Even few years back, I used to think in this way. How foolish was it? Now I don't think in that way. So we can see a difference. Even as devotees, we can see 10 years back what we used to think, what we used to relish, that is not the same now. So that shows that bhakti is working. Then Dhruva Maharaj continues, he glorifies the devotees. He says, I need simply the association of the devotees and I want to hear and chant Lord's holy names, qualities and pastimes. So he has such a great attraction for the glories of the holy, glories of the Supreme Lord, and he very much appreciates the association of devotees. So previously he didn't appreciate so much association of the devotees. He didn't want to glorify the Supreme Lord. But now there is such a great transformation. So this is real before and after. The transformation of the consciousness. In fact, in Srimad Bhagavatam and in Chaitanya Charitamrita, there are so many examples where such a transformation takes place. Such devotees are being empowered by the Lord. And the senses are completely transformed. Even from beginning of Bhagavatam, Lord Brahma, he didn't know how to create. He didn't know anything. He was in darkness of ignorance in that way. Then what happened? His austerities, his prayer, the Lord himself came. Just like Dhruva Maharaj, the Lord himself came. Then there was a transformation. And he prays for the creative energy. And he gets the whole knowledge. There is a transformation altogether. He understood the whole Vedic Vedas. And he could act upon it. Same we can see Gajendra. Interesting example, Gajendra. Because Gajendra himself says, in his prayers he says, I have got to this body of an elephant. It is personification of ignorance. The body of elephant is considered personification of ignorance. And then what happened? He got his demigod body and he became a pure devotee. There was a transformation. Nalakuvera and Manigriva, right? There was a transformation of the whole senses. The Lord didn't even touch in one sense. Okay, slightly he actually pushed them by the grinding mortar. There was a whole transformation. They got their demigod body and they served the Lord. And of course after that, they had the return journey to the spiritual abode. So we can see everywhere we can see such a transformation. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, a classic example is of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he was very old and invalid. And he was in Bengal. And one night, he had a dream of Lord Nityananda. Lord Nityananda, he was beautifully dressed, having beautiful garland, having whole body decorated with sandal paste. He had a big turban and he was chewing pan in a betel nuts. And all his, as mentioned, all his teeth was like pomegranate. And he is compared to a maddened elephant. He was strong and stout, like a hero. He was not alone. He had all his associates who were dressed just like cowherd boys. And all of them were chanting Krishna, Krishna in ecstasy. So Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami had this dream and he was thinking, what's really going on now? At that point, Lord Nityananda put his feet on the forehead of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami and told, don't worry. You go to Vrindavan. This is my instruction. You go to Vrindavan. Then when Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami woke up, his dream broke and he woke up And he saw it was already morning and he just got up and started to Vrindavan. Can you imagine? He was invalid and he couldn't walk properly, he couldn't see properly, and he walked all the way from Bengal to Vrindavan. We think, how can we walk, you know, 2 kilometers? This we are talking about few hundred kilometers. And he did walk. And there he composed this literature, that is Chaitanya Charitamrita. The Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, even the Prabhupada writes in the purport, even though Krishnas Kaviraj Goswami, he was very old, invalid, and he was practically, he was quite blind, even though he wrote this literature, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that people, at one point in time, people around the world will learn Bengali to read Chaitanya Charitamrita. And Prabhupada writes in the purport that now it is not really required, it's my humble attempt to translate Chaitanya Charitamrita into English. So it is such a prophetic, you know, statement that it really happened. Everyone around the world relishes Chaitanya Charitamrita.
3 months.
3 months. It's amazing. At least we should read in 1 year. It's like some devotees were asked. One Maharaj was asking devotees, you know, how many of you have read Chaitanya Charitamrita? So only a few devotees raised their hand. Then he asked, how many devotees over 5 years in Krishna consciousness haven't read Chaitanya Charitamrita? Then also there were a few hands up. So he instructed, that's not the right thing. One has to read Chaitanya Charitamrita, because Prabhupada has put so much of effort. Even there was a whole Chaitanya Charitamrita marathon, right, to complete Chaitanya Charitamrita in a month's time. You know, the famous morning walk conversation in which Srila Prabhupada asked Rameshwar Prabhu, okay, this is actually coming to the next point. He asked Rameshwar Prabhu, how long will it take to complete Chaitanya Charitamrita? He said, if we try our best, in 1 month we can produce one volume. So it was a big achievement, because otherwise it was taking 6 months for one volume. So 1 month, one volume. Prabhu said, no. The entire Chaitanya Charitamrita in 1 month. Then Rameshwar Prabhu said, it is impossible. Prabhu said, impossible is a word in Fool's Dictionary. Straight away, cut. So this was like a disciple in front of the spiritual master having a, you know, Herculean task. How can one do it? It's practically impossible. How then still devotees had to accept, because it was a question of life and death as a devotee. Because either follow the order of the spiritual master or be rejected from the parampara. They had such a heavy feeling in their heart. Then the whole Chaitanya Charitamrita marathon started. Devotees working day and night. So this actually comes to the next point I wanted to make. In the purport, there is a very interesting point about Sevanmukha. Sevanmukha means, depending how much a devotee takes upon the order of the spiritual master or the supreme lord, that much the internal potency is revealed to such a person, and then one is empowered with that. See, so how much one is subservient to the order of the Supreme Lord, that much one is empowered by the internal potency of the Lord. And that's why Srila Prabhupada writes, our Mahamantra is starting with connection to the internal energy Hare. So this is a very good example in which we can see how the devotees actually got enlivened by the internal potency of the Lord, coming through the parampara, coming through Srila Prabhupada. So they took upon the order to execute. And it was, devotees were serving day and night. Some devotees were translating, marathon translation, marathon proofreading, marathon editing, and artists day and night working. So one would paint, you know, painting is there by shift, same painting, multiple devotees working on the same painting. Can you imagine? One devotee would finish some work, and when it is left over, some other devotees would come, they will take over. This is quite unusual. if you consider artists, because one painting generally is done by as one devotee. Now, one painting is half done and another devotee would come, would try to do something more than the next person. So this is called marathon work. And then what happened? Devotees was empowered, enlightened by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. So that is Sri Sevanmukha. So it did happen. And devotee was saying, we don't know how we worked so much. Don't know. How could 24 hours round the clock working on Chaitanya Charitamrita. And indeed, devotees were able to complete the task and send the books to India for Vyas Puja. Prabhupada wanted it before Vyas Puja. And when did devotee reach there? After Vyas Puja. After the same day, but after the celebration of Vyas Puja. They walked in to the quarters of Srila Prabhupada and gave the book. So he thought Prabhupada is going to be very happy. So he's going to embrace him. He's going to offer some glorifications. He had all this expectation in the mind. But Prabhupada said, it's already late. You missed the deadline. After the whole marathon work, Prabhupada said, you missed the deadline. It's already late because before Vyas Puja, it is after Vyas Puja. Few hours, but it is after. Then, of course, Prabhupada gave the benediction to the devotees who worked on this project that whoever participated in this marathon would go back to Godhead. So that was the blessings of Srila Prabhupada. It's a very powerful blessing. So this is again coming to this purport, how the Sevanmukha, the internal energy of the Lord, how it is flowing through parampara. What is the basis? The service attitude. The service attitude. So how we place ourselves, Srila Prabhupada writes, how we place ourselves under the instruction of the spiritual master and the supreme Lord, that much one is empowered by the internal potency of the Lord. So we can see, you know, mukam karoti vachalam pankum lankete girim. We don't have any qualifications, really speaking. When I speak to many devotees who give lectures and who knows Bhagavatam nicely, who has read Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, or Srila Prabhupada's books multiple times, for many devotees, they said their first big book to read in their life was Bhagavad Gita, as it is. Many devotees have told me, the first book to read, big book to read in their life was Bhagavad Gita. But see the transformation. And how many devotees giving classes, regular speakers of Bhagavatam or other lectures or preachers had imagined that they would be okay with public speaking? Not really, not many. It's not really, for generally many people are afraid of public speaking, but people, devotees are speaking and there is a transformation. So this is Sevanmukha because we try to follow the order of the authorities. Then there is empowerment. And it is very, very important for our spiritual progress. We can see Srila Prabhupada's example. Srila Prabhupada, when he went to Tompkins Square Park, when he chanted Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, he was simply trying to glorify the Supreme Lord. And because of his purity, what happened? So many people joined in. And then time to come, so many devotees joined in, just like Prabhupada himself mentions in one of the purports. Just like if a lion is actually walking in the forest and if he's roaring, then what happens? All the animals, the whole forest is shaking, all the animals are running here and there. Similarly, when a powerful acharya comes to earth and when he preaches, when he glorifies the Supreme Lord, all the sleeping souls are enlivened, they are coming out of slumber. That's what we can see, that we saw, you know, that we can see the life of Srila Prabhupada. Even we can see the same thing, how Srila Prabhupada empowers his devotees, his followers, who follows his instruction. Even in Srila Prabhupada's time, we know how the book distribution started. The devotees, they wanted to distribute Srila Prabhupada's books. They didn't know how to distribute Srila Prabhupada's books. The first exchange took place in a fuel station. Right? Fuel station. Devotees exchanged some books with fuel. That was it. Then they realized, okay, we can just approach people and we can give this book for something else. So they thought, okay, we can ask for some money. We can just approach people. That was the message they got. And they started experimenting this. And that's how the whole book distribution explosion took place. You know, thousands and thousands of books, millions of books. It is such an amazing thing. So everything happened by the empowerment, the desire of Srila Prabhupada. So Srila Prabhupada encouraged book distribution like anything. He empowered devotees. So this is Srila Prabhupada. This is the internal potency which is coming through the parampara. Now, see the Sevan Mukha mentality. I will read what is mentioned here. When a person places himself at the disposal or order of the Supreme Lord, that is called Sevan Mukha. Now we remember the verse, right? Ata Shri Krishna Nama Adina Grahyam Bhavet Intehi Sevan Mukhehi Jihvado Swayam Eva Spiratyata. So this is applicable in devotion service, in service, in sadhana, in chanting Krishna's names. This is very, very applicable in worshipping the deity. Sevan Mukhehi Jihvado. Starting from using the having honoring prasadam and chanting Krishna's name, we get realizations. And this really takes place when we take responsibility in serving Krishna. Why should Krishna empower someone if there is no desire to serve him and if we don't want to take responsibility? But if we take responsibility in Krishna's service, then there will be empowerment. We will have to continue our devotional service. We may not see big results. We are not after the result. Okay. Of course, it is. We need results that is pleasing to the Lord. But at the same time, whether we see result or not, still we continue our devotional service. Because there are results in many other ways coming through. We may think one certain thing as a result when we start our devotional service or start a project. It may not be the result that is given by the Lord. It could be something else. So this is, things can vary. It is up to the Lord. But the essential point is we need to take responsibility in devotional service. Srila Prabhupada said about preaching as our family business. Our family business. Because everything is connected to giving this knowledge to others. So Prabhupada said this is our family business. Preaching is our family business. Everything is oriented towards one thing, you know, to attract conditioned souls to Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada had that vision in one airport. Prabhupada was asked this question. What do you see? He was, you know, devotees generally thought, you know, if you ask Prabhupada, he may be seeing Krishna, he may be seeing Narada Muni, he may be seeing great devotees. Prabhupada said, I see flapping dead bodies. Exactly as it is mentioned in this purport. Prabhupada mentioned this purport. Flapping dead bodies means there are so many people who are not engaged in devotional service. So that is the transformation. When the senses are engaged in bhakti, that is bhakti. Hrishikena Hrishikesha Sevanam Bhakti Ruchyate. That is bhakti. Then it is not flapping dead bodies. Mandanam Roga, there is another verse. Mandanam Roga, Lokaranjanam. That is, all the activities performed without Krishna consciousness are compared to decoration on a dead body. It's mentioned in many, many parts in Chaitanya Charitamrita, in Bhagavatam, in Isha Upanishad, Srila Prabhupada quotes this many places. Decoration of dead body. So we have the great opportunity to come to Krishna consciousness and to experience that change. It's not just after coming to Krishna consciousness, as I told, we can experience that in our progressive Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada mentioned at the last part of the purport, in the beginning the senses are engaged in direction of the spiritual master and Shastra, and after realization, when the same senses are purified, the engagement continues. The difference is that in the beginning senses are engaged in a mechanical way. Chanting is mechanical, service is mechanical. Mechanical means we just do it. there is no real involvement of the heart or the deeper consciousness. That is called mechanical. We repeat the activity, you know, literally if you speak mechanical, what it means like a machine. Machine keeps doing things very religiously, but at the same time, there is no real consciousness which is experiencing. Similarly, when we start our Krishna consciousness, we may do the activity, we may chant, but there is no heart which is completely involved. But as a devotee goes through in devotional service, we can see chanting is not the same what we used to chant 10 years back. It is not the same. Mantra is the same, process is the same, but chanting is not the same. This is called transformation of the heart. One can experience this. We may not experience on a day-to-day basis. A day-to-day basis we experience. Today my chanting is great. Tomorrow it is bad. That's called fluctuation. Okay, that is fine. But over the years one can see there is a steady progress in chanting. And if not, there is something wrong. There is a problem. After chanting for 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, 30 years, if it's exactly the same as how we were when we started chanting, then no, something is wrong. We need to work on something. That is some indication. Same with the service, the mood in which we perform our service. So that is transformation. That is before and after. So I conclude here and see if there are any questions, comments. Yes, Prabhu.
One comment. Giriraj Swami, you know, Giriraj Maharaj. I happened to be in London 2005. So he told us how Srila Prabhupada persuaded his parents, because his parents wanted him back to US, writing so many letters and this and that. So ultimately, his mother said to his father that we must go personally and bring him back to USA. So Prabhupada said, mother said, Prabhupada, I am worried that he is not getting any proteins. So Prabhupada said, that's no problem. Give him sandesh. And sandesh has a lot of proteins, some milk. So they were satisfied. And his father himself said at that time that we have not seen anybody so strong and important to convince us. We thought he would take him back. But Giriraj doesn't want to go. How can he take him back? Same thing he proceeded about writing articles. Srila Prabhupada just made him, you must write something. You must write something. And then he started writing.
Thank you. Yes.
In Krishna, 64 qualities. The first one, beautiful bodily features, and the one of the main four ones, the Rupa Madhurya, Madhuri, don't they look the same?
Okay. Yeah, it's quite different from what we talked so far in the class. So the question is, in the 64 qualities of Krishna, one quality is his beautiful bodily features in general. And in the four main qualities of Krishna, that which distinguishes Krishna from other of his expansions is Rupa Madhuri. So how they differ. So the difference is beautiful bodily features are common to two-handed form of Krishna, Shyamsundar and Narayan and Prashnagarbha, all different expansions. But the specific reference to Rupa Madhuri is his Tribhanga Lalitam, his threefold bending form. It is very captivating, it is very attractive. So that is a specific reference to that, apart from other his beautiful features. Yeah. Okay. Yes, Madhuri.
Just on the topic of the chanting, you mentioned.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and you mentioned if the point, if the chanting is the same or not improving, we have to work on things. So how do we know what it is that we have to adjust if we don't feel like the chanting is progressing?
Okay. It is simple in one sense, but it's very complicated. The simple thing is, that's why we every day recite the 10 offenses against the holy name. So Bhagavatam, second canto, Prabhupada gives a beautiful purport to the verse, Yadam Shasaram Hridayam Batetam Nagrihyamanar Harinamadheye. Na vikariye dhedha vikaro, netre jalam gatra rvesh harsha. Indeed, that heart is steel framed. Upon chanting Krishna's names attentively, still there is no tears flowing from the eyes or the ears or the hair standing on the body. So this is actually talking about bhava bhakti, which is very advanced. So we are not, and then the whole purport is explanation of the 10 offenses against the holy name chanting. So now that's why what we need to do is, this is what we need to avoid. In that way it is simple. But to do that is not very simple. So here, Bhaktivinoda Thakur in Harinama Chintamani, he analyzes this very nicely, very thoroughly, and come to the point that all the offenses are sprouting from one offense, and he says it is based on inattentive chanting. So what to address is inattentive chanting. Now, if you want to tackle that problem, we need internal and external adjustment. It's not just internal, it's external also. External means, how are we prioritizing our chanting? So that is the external adjustment. And the environment in which we are chanting. So association with the devotees, and when are we chanting. So this can help to some degree to get attentive chanting. So my realization was, when I was chanting, you know, day in and day out here in the temple room, then sitting in the temple room, 5 to 7, the one come to a point that, you know, okay, this time this is for chanting. I don't need my mobile phone nearby. I don't need to talk to anyone. Even if there are problems coming to me, okay, at least, you know, I don't want to discuss at this point. So at least we can do some external adjustment that will help us to get to focus chanting, attentive chanting. Then internal adjustment that is required is called sambandha gyan. Understanding our relationship with Krishna and knowledge more about Krishna and our connection to Krishna. So this is called sambandha gyan. Sambandha gyan means, say for example, it's very simple. If you talk to someone, we ask, okay, who am I? I am such and such person. Next person will tell, yeah, I am such and such person. What do you do? So we try to understand. That's how we develop a relation. Similarly, we need to develop a relation to Krishna. How do we do that? From Shastra, from hearing. So the more we know about Krishna, that really helps us to chant his name. We understand the holy name and the Lord are known different. So these are all part of Samadha Gyan. So we need to have some. So this is the internal adjustment that we need to make. So then we can try to approach the process of chanting. Still, it's not easy, but we need to take that step as the beginning.
Yes. And also, in my life, I feel that realization that the early hours are very, very.
Yes, of course, yeah.
Because if you do the same chanting, definitely it is like Chaitanya Prabhu said, any time you can chant, it's not like. But the thing is, more effective is that morning hours. Because the atmosphere, the mood of goodness is prominent.
So yes. So it is like we try to take the benefit of the Brahma Murta, and then as we develop, we should be able to chant properly whatever time we are chanting.
Yes. If you have that morning good chanting, then later on if you chant, then that effect is still there for the rest of the day.
Thank you. Yes, Prabhu.
I have a very similar question. Some days the thoughts are very minimal.
Yes.
Some days the thoughts of the mundane are quite prevalent. The days when the thoughts are minimal, it's really good. You feel it's really nice. But then there are days when, you know, you do have mundane thoughts. How do you eradicate that? How do you overcome those mundane thoughts?
Okay.
What's the process?
Practice. Abhyasena chakauteya vairagyena cha grihyati. So we had to stick to attentive chanting, hearing Krishna's names. And then the mind tend to go away, then try to bring it back. This is abhyasa. And it is. And vairagya, what is the vairagya required while chanting? Why our mind is going to something else? Because it is so attractive to us. all the mundane thoughts are very, very attractive. So we are, okay, leave aside. Okay, sometime get some vairagya, detachment from the, okay, come back to the holy name. So in that way we have to do abhyasa and vairagya. This is the practice we need. So as we get purified, yes, Prabhu.
Chanting, or just
about
the day.
Oh, okay. It's about the day or it's about the chanting time?
No, it's during the chanting.
Okay, yeah.
Chanting, you know,
okay. During the day? Japa time, yeah. So, japa time, this is the practice. Practice to hear. And when the thought comes, when we realize that we are thinking something else, bring it back. You know, many times that's what happens, right? Oh, I was supposed to listen. Okay, come back.
I do that.
Yeah. So this is the practice.
Okay.
Good. Continue. Continue.
It's quite normal.
Yeah.
This is not unusual.
No.
And, you know, it's everybody experiences this. It's a common feature of
mind back.
And you know, when you're beginning, you think, God, I'm going to do this for all my life. This is too hard. But once you get the practice, you can, it becomes less of a challenge.
It's like cross country, to be honest. I used to do cross country running.
Yeah. Struggle. Pittopadapta rasana sinarochikanu. That's what Rupa Goswami says. Oh, it is so bitter. Pittopadapta rasana is a nectar of instruction. It is exactly the same thing. You know, it's like eating bitter melon. So bad. Bitter melon juice. So tough. Even though Krishna's holy name is sweetest, still, you know, so difficult. Yeah, it is a beginning. Then, kindu adarat. Anudinam khalu saivajishta. Kindu adara. Prabhu translate kindu adara. Adara, that's general meaning of adara is respect. Prabhu specifically write it as with attention, carefully chanting. By carefully chanting. So that carefully involves everything. Adjusting internally, externally, everything. Carefully chanting. Svadvikramat bhavati. So taste will come gradually. So that is actually a devotee's life. One can see gradually. Prabhu writes in many purports, it's a slow process of Krishna consciousness. Slow process. It's not, you know, there can be rare souls happening immediately. You can see Dhruva Maharaj, 6 months. But otherwise, it's a slow process. Then, it works slowly, slowly, slowly. Prabhu wanted to say, yes, Prabhu.
And the advantage of this is that you develop humility.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we tend to think that, so then one has to become tolerant and humble and, you know, treat other piece of nature.
Yes.
So in the success, the key is given.
Yes.
That I have no attraction to China.
Yeah.
Because that's that taste, right? Like you said, did it now.
Yeah.
I'm liking it to chew on
cardboard.
Very difficult. But then the next instruction in the Sushastikam is one has to be humble,
yes,
respectful to others, not respectful, respectful to oneself. So the mood, there's that exchange that Prabhupada had with one of his friends where Prabhupada mentioned how he had the key,
yes,
to success in chanting. And that was that verse.
Dr. Kapoor? Or?
Yeah, Dr. Kapoor. and so, when we face these challenges, meditating on that verse is very powerful. You get inspiration from studying the meaning of that verse. And what you find is you're looking, you know, we're looking for something for ourselves, basically, whereas when we're chanting Hare Krishna, the petition or the prayer of Krishna is, I'm yours, and whatever you want me to do, chance to learn the outcome of experiencing ecstasy. Well, the reality is, you know, when we're in that situation, that's a underlines our state of lack of grasping and dependence on Krishna. But because when you're out chanting in the right mood, then you don't want to stop. Because it says, Kirtani Asadana.
Mm. Yes.
Something for us to work on.
Lifetime. Yes, bro.
Guru, thank you for the class. My question is, like, when a devotee tries to puts an effort to intensify his sadhana, like intensive chanting, like reading the shastra, what is the role of maya on that devotee? Does it bring more challenges for that devotee because he's trying to get closer to Krishna, or does it back off to help the devotee?
Oh. So the question is, if somebody is trying to do Tivrayana Bhakti Yoga and intense devotion service, what is the role of Maya? Maya is always trying to test. Maya will test always. Whether we are doing it in a slacking way, means already there is Maya is there. And if you try to do intensely, Maya will be there. Maya will test. So the question is, we are saying it is, we are intensifying. Whether really it's intense or not, that'll be tested. That's the role of Maya. We say, today onwards, I'm going to do attentive chanting. Today is going to be my attentive chanting, all my rounds. We'll realize probably in the first round itself, what is that intensity? Oh, already mind is gone. So, yeah. It is actually speaking, it is good to have such determination and doing it. It is good, especially if you are talking about chanting, it is good to approach in that way. But it is not just a mental adjustment. As the Prabhu was mentioning just now, that it is much deeper than that. So that is the humility. That is much deeper than that. But it is good to have determination. We need that. Utsaha is required. Nishchaya is required. It is required. You can approach. But it takes more than that. The real transformation inside is actually required. And what is that? We really need help. I need help from this holy name. I need help. This is Krishna and I want to serve. That is the only way. If one actually start feeling, if that is the mood, then it becomes easier to approach. It's not like, you know, I'm determined today, I'm going to chant all my rounds with full attention. Here we go. Then we will know the reality, what actually works and what doesn't. So, it's the mood. I need, really have no hope, I need some help. Then somehow or other, we can see it works. And if something doesn't work still, I've fallen, need some help, like that.
Chanting is the most important component in increasing our attention.
Mm-hmm.
No,
it's like when we are chanting with other devotees, the japa by definition is chant loud enough so that we can listen. It's not that, you know, we devotees are sitting and sometimes what happens, some devotees chant so loud, everyone else have a hard time, you know, to listen to. So it may be recommended when we're helping some person, but it is not really helping anyone else. So one has to be quite mindful how loud one is chanting. Kirtan is a different story, but japa means loud enough so that we can listen. So that is we had to, you know, follow some decorum in that respect. Okay. Considerate of others. So it is not just by sound, if we can get attention, then it is an easy solution. We can all start shouting and all attention to the holy name will come. So that's not really the key. So we had to not really. Loud chanting means you need to chant louder than the mind. It's not the physical voice, you know. We can shout and then all attention, all bhava, prema, everything will come. Yeah.
And, you know, it's a measure of disturbance.
Yeah.
When you go outside and chant loud, you disturb
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Shrimad Bhagavatam ki jai.